In my adventures every summer to the Appalachian Mountains for our annual Appalachian Service Project trip, I picked up a piece of wisdom that's one of the mottos of the young adults who teach us, teach the youth on these trips, and those of us who have very limited construction experience. A motto to help us get through particular situations when you're trying to fix something. And the motto is this: think like a raindrop. Think like a raindrop. What that means, when you're on a roof repairing a hole for which you are not qualified to actually fix it, and you have to fix this hole and you have an idea of what you need to do, the idea is think like a raindrop. Think beyond what you're expecting to do and think about what that raindrop wants to do, where it wants to get once it comes down and gets down into the base of the house. And since on this trip the idea is to make home warmer, safer, and drier, the raindrop becomes our adversary. So it's kind of a know your enemy kind of situation. But I want us to think like a raindrop for a moment and see what that raindrop might be able to tell us about the relationship between wisdom and humility, that important relationship that I think we actually are getting a picture of in our scripture passages this morning. And what made me think of that was something that I came across several weeks ago, which reminded me of those passages. It's actually something that's Taoist. And I'm not going to claim to know much about Taoism, but I came across this phrase and I thought it sounded cool, so I said I can just go like this. And remember, think like a raindrop. The supreme good is like water, which nourishes all things without trying to. It is content with the low places that people disdain. Say it again. The supreme good is like water, which nourishes all things without trying to. It is content with the low places that people disdain. I think of the supreme good, I think of what we read this morning about wisdom, about humility, about what we need at the core of our being as we begin to embrace this journey that we're on. And I think that if we are to be like the raindrop, in that we are called to nourish one another, and to seek those places where we ourselves are nourished, the point is we shouldn't be up here in the exalted places, but to follow the raindrop, follow to those lower, humble places, the places the people disdain, the places where we find dirt, where it's slightly darker places. And let that be our guide, because what we see here is a sense of the humility of being called into lower places, where we find the nourishment that God gives us. And we see here a deep connection between that humility and the wisdom that it leads us to. And I talk about wisdom because that's what James talks about in the letter that we read this morning. He talks about what wisdom does for us. And he talks about two worlds. He talks about what our world looks like when we're guided by this sense of wisdom. And wisdom is at the core of who we are. But he also talks about what our world looks like when wisdom is far from us, when instead we're guided by what he calls envy and selfish ambition. And I think it's important to look at what we're hearing in these passages today. You see, what we have, what we get, when we're guided by the sense of wisdom, not by ambition, not by looking after our needs, not by trying to become, by moving up in the world, so much as by centering ourselves on seeking to be more lowly, on finding God in those humble places, what we actually experience is what James calls righteousness. He calls it the fruits of this is a harvest of righteousness. Now, if you're anything like me and you hear the word righteousness, it's actually, it's with a little bit of hesitation, because that word to many of us has become synonymous with self-righteousness. They're very different things. I think that's one of the words in our tradition that you might use a little bit of rehabilitation. When I think James is talking about righteousness, What he's talking about is having right relationship with one another, right relationship with ourselves. Most importantly, the right relationship with God. It means being centered. It means being grounded. It means that God is at the core of our being. And that's a guiding force in everything that we do in our lives. James says, if you want peace, look for this right relationship. If you want peace within your own self, look to the relationship with God. If you want peace with those around you, and at our individual levels, at our world level, if you want peace, you need to be in right relationship with one another. And sometimes you're going to experience situations where you can't control the relationship with everyone else. Sometimes. That's always the case. We don't have that control. And that's when it's even more important to look to that core relationship, which is that relationship with God. Through right relationship, we can begin to grow into the kind of wisdom that James is telling us about. But he also talks about what happens when we don't grow into that kind of relationship, when our lives are governed more by envy and selfish ambition. What happens then is our lives become a zero-sum game when it never needed to. What happens then is the things that we have in life that we should be sharing, money, wealth, ambition, status, things, these things become scarce as we hold on to them more and more tightly. And the more tightly we hold on to them, the less perspective we have, the harder it is to see how important our relationships with others are and how hard it is to see the impact that it has on us. And those around us. And the funny thing that happens when we hold on to these things so tightly, we get this kind of spiral happening. Where if you don't have enough money, for example, the only remedy for that is to get more, right? If you don't have enough power, the only remedy for that is to get more and more. And you've heard the term downward spiral. I think of it as an upward spiral. Where the only thing that solves our problems is to reach for more, is to grab for more. We become insatiable. How far this is from the wisdom of that rainbow. It comes from a God that seeks those lowly, humble, simple places and seeks only to provide nourishment for the creatures of God. I think one thing that helps is a shift in our perspective. And I think that's what was going on for Jesus. When the disciples, they were walking to Capernaum, and of course the disciples, because they're people like us, are behind him and they're bickering. They're arguing about which one of them is the greatest. And of course that's totally normal. And we don't know if they were arguing about which one was more humble than the other, or which one was a better thinker than the other. But the point is they were walking and Jesus is with them. And of course we've all been in this kind of situation where we're with people, perhaps it's our children, and they're in the back seat and they're arguing about who's better, and you just think, I just don't want to get into this right now. And you finally get to the place where you're going and you ask about it. And of course there's very little difference between children who bicker about who's greater and adults. The only difference is that adults get embarrassed about that. And so we see that when Jesus turns to them and says, what were you guys arguing about? And they get silent. Because I know that they're a little bit off. I think it's important to think of them as these guys were products of a world that didn't value wisdom. They were trying their hardest to cross into this new thing that Jesus was talking about. But they were coming from a place of non-wisdom. Think of Jesus as being wisdom incarnate. He was having a conversation with some guys who were just products of a different world. A world that is a lot more like ours than the one I think Jesus has envisioned. And Jesus turns to them, and I don't think he was judgmental. I think he was really concerned for them. I think he saw in these arguments something of danger. He thought that their relationship with one another was endangered by this argument. Because you can't really be in right relationship with someone if you're comparing yourself to them, if you're arguing with them about who's the greatest. And so Jesus turns to them, and he's worried about them, and he says, "My friends, think like the raindrop." And they say, "What?" And he says, "Okay, try this. I found it in a Dallas book. The supreme good is like water. It nourishes all things without trying to. It is content with the low places that people disdain." And I suspect that he still didn't get it. And so he looks over and finds a child. He takes that child. He puts this child in his arms. This child who had no status. This child who had no wealth, who had no power, couldn't have been farther from this exalted position. And he takes the child in his arms, and he says, "My friends, if you want to know what I'm talking about, if you want to open your eyes to what God is trying to draw you to, you have to know that the first will be last. You have to take this child, and you have to open your eyes with the same wonder and humility and innocence that this child has. And at the core, you have as well." I think Jesus wanted to call them to a whole new way of seeing things, just as we're called to this. I think we're called to live our lives, to shift our lives to what I think of as a Christ-centered perspective, where we begin to seek not the things of this world. They're still going to be there. They're not going anywhere. We're not going to fully pull away from them, I realize. But where we seek not just the things of this world, but rather to live like that raindrop, to get to those places of humility, of simplicity, to those lowly places, where we can be nourishment to others, where we can find the nourishment that we need to continue on our journeys. When we can be open to the least among us, like this child that Jesus took into his arms, we become open to being vessels of this love, of this grace that God offers to our world.